عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أيها السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم
السلام.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this noble day of Jumu'ah, to make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that He forgive us for all our sins, and He overlook our faults, and He look over our shortcomings, and He accept this Jumu'ah from us, like He accepted from Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He uses the Jumu'ah as a way of putting us in Jannah with those Habi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We will continue inshallah ta'ala from our topic of last week of preparation for Hajj, and different topics that are associated with Hajj. Again, it's a very wonderful and noble experience to get the tawfiq for going for Hajj. And it's not something that we should delay. It's not something we should delay. The word Hajj means, in lughatan, like in the linguistic meaning, al-qastul mu'adzam lizziyara. That when you make an intention, like everyone intends to do something, right? We make a, for example, we have an idea of where we want to go. And so by you making an idea, that's just a regular niyyah. Hajj is when you make, when the word Hajj means, when you're making such an intention which is so huge, and you're going to visit someone. When you're going to visit someone with this huge intention that I'm going to make sure I go to do that, that's what the word Hajj means. It comes from the same word as Hujjah, the same word as proof. Because when a person performs Hajj properly, it becomes the strongest proof for them on the Day of Judgment, inshallah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, when you use the word Hujjah in Arabic, it's when you know when I bring out this piece of evidence. It's like when a husband and wife are fighting, right? And then you're like, okay, I have this one dalil. I know if I bring it out, this is the Hujjah, it's going to be finished. Similarly, for on the Day of Judgment, when you bring out the Hajj, then the angels and everyone there bear witness that this person will go to Jannah because of it. Because there's such a big proof in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what the word Hajj means. And so that's why a person, even myself being a youngster, we understand that we have a lot of things that we're trying to save for. Everyone has all these things they're trying to save for. We're trying to save for a house, we're trying to save for a car, we're trying to save for this and that. But the most important investment, and the greatest place where you can allocate your wealth, is that you actually spend it on going for Hajj. Make it your first goal. Once I save up this much money, I'm going for Hajj. Don't tell yourself, once I get a house or a car, because then you'll be sinful. You will be sinful by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as you have the money and expenses, and you can cover your expenses for home as well, you have to go for Hajj. And that's why the youngsters should be going more than the elders in reality. But we just have this lack of understanding of what Hajj is. We don't want to delay it. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person in at the pangs of death, at the throes of death, they will all start to beg and say, Ya Allah, let us go back and do our zakat. Ya Allah, let us go back and do our Hajj. We didn't get a chance to do so. Do not delay it for any other reason. Don't tell ourselves because we can wait. You might come up to a time where there's no time to wait anymore. Death has come, an emergency has come, an accident has come, and you can't go for Hajj anymore. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah to go, inshallah ta'ala. And when we do go, we have to go with this idea and understanding that it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for many of us. Some of us maybe twice, some of us maybe thrice. But whichever amount of times we go, it's not like how we pray five times salah in the day, for sure. When you pray five times in the day, you pray Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You have so much time to make, like, if you messed up Fajr in the day, you're like, okay, and Zuhr, I'll make it better, and Asr, I'll make it better, Maghrib better, Isha better. You have a time to improve, because there's so many salahs in the day. And if it's the same thing with zakah, you pay once in a year. And so every year that comes up, you're like, okay, I can regularly give zakah. Maybe this year I did very bad on it. Maybe next year I'll do better. Same thing with fasting in Ramadan. You fast once in a year, you fast again for the entire month. And even within the fast, you have 30 days of fasting. And so one fast was bad, next day will be better, next will be better. You can improve it. But when it comes to Hajj, one shot you really get. To make it right, to make it important, to make it special. And that's what we want to cover today, inshallah ta'ala. What makes a special Hajj by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If someone came to you and asked you for advice, they said, I'm going for Hajj, give me some advice. What would you tell them? Make tawaf more, make salatul awabin, make salatul duha, you know, all these things. Go for ziyarat to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a specific time, if you go at this time, you can visit the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You tell them all these things that are good deeds. They tell them all these things which are good deeds. We generally just tell people to do good deeds. Sometimes we tell them to avoid haram food and things like that, which is good as well. What does Allah Ta'ala tell us to do? What does Allah Ta'ala tell us to do? Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. Hajj is in known months, meaning starting from Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجْ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ. When you ask Allah Ta'ala for advice on how should I do my Hajj, He says, if you are going to do Hajj, don't sin.
Allah Ta'ala tells you, when you're going to do Hajj, do not sin. And you and I are thinking, if you went to any Mawlana Sahib and he told you, you know, when you asked him for advice for Hajj, he said, don't sin. You'd be like, Mawlana, you're cutting me short. There's so many other things to do in Hajj. You think I'm going to sin? The idea is what? That this is often overlooked. Why is it overlooked? Because people come with so much muhabba. People come with so much love when they come into the domain of the miqat. When they come into that realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come with so much love and ardor. They want to show Allah ta'ala their respect. They want to show Allah ta'ala. And sometimes we feel like the Hajj has been made for me. Sometimes we feel like this is my Hajj, my nafsi Hajj, this is my Hajj. And we forget the millions of other people there. And when we forget the millions of other people there, we end up pushing this person, hurting this person, slandering that person, cursing at that person, cursing our own group members, cursing our group leader, cursing our Mawlana, our Imam. We end up hurting everyone because we thought the Hajj was for myself. So Allah Ta'ala reminds us. It's like He puts a warning sign. What does Allah Ta'ala say? فَلَا رَفَثَ Don't speak evil things. وَلَا فُسُوقَ Don't act evil things. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ And don't argue in Hajj. These are warning signs. You ever come to a place, like for example here, no food and drink. Allah Ta'ala, like here you see in the masjid, says no food and drink. You go to certain places, say no smoking allowed. Right? And you see like, don't turn on red. And one of the most amazing signs when you're driving is police officers ahead. Police officer is ahead. Because why? And it's so funny. You learn so many things when you're driving, especially, I don't know, maybe it's because I study psychology and I'm just analyzing people while I'm driving. You learn so many things of taqwa as well. I feel like people become muttaqeen if they just learn how to drive properly, mashallah. The cop will stop one guy. And everyone else slows down. You know, deer, they run together because they know that the cheetah will only catch one. Right? It's very funny to me that the deer don't stop moving as fast as they were because they know he caught one guy. But everyone else, as human beings, we slow down because we're like, oh, now we should have adab. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. When we're going for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala is the officer there. He's watching everyone. You might get away from the police officer by speeding or whatever, but you'll never get away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He put a sign up there. He said, no turn on red. No talking bad. No acting bad. And no arguing here. This is not permitted in this area. You're not allowed to do it. As soon as you enter the miqat area, Allah Ta'ala says, you're no longer allowed to do so. What do we find? We find is the flip. People say they can shove, they can push, they can argue. Why did Allah Ta'ala mention this in the first place? Why do you tell you not to sin by tongue, sin by limbs, and then not to argue at all? It's because of the fact that shaitan hasn't been locked up. Shaitan has not been locked up. In Ramadan, it's just you and your nafs. You're just fighting yourself. You're fighting your desires. You can cap that easy because Allah Ta'ala helps you through fasting. But in Hajj, you still have shaitan with you. You still have shaitan with you. One riwayah comes from Iblis speaking. He goes and says that I have placed shayateen on the door, on the gateways and the doorways and the pathways to Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that Iblis has placed on the way to Hajj, he's placed his army. And in Hajj, he's placed his army. And day of Arafah, he's there watching you. All these things are there. Shaitan does not need a visa. Shaitan does not need a passport. You just go there directly, and then what does he do? Because he knows. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man hajja lillah, falam yafas, walam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladatu ummu." The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever performs Hajj does not talk anything bad there, does not act anything bad there. He returns like a newborn. When you do halq, when you shave your head, when you finish ihram, right? You have to shave. When you shave your head, and then you give a qurbani, right? It's the same thing as an aqiqah. It's the same thing as in aqiqah. Because you shave the head of the boy or the girl, and then you give a qurbani, a sacrifice at that time. It's a newborn, you're like a newborn as well. That's the idea behind it. And shaitan knows that better than anyone else. And that's why when Hajj starts, Hajj does not start when you get to the miqat. It never starts there. Hajj starts right now. And I used to think, the ulama wrote that it starts on the way when you exit your house. In my head, I started to think, no, actually it starts while you made intention now. One brother came up to me and said, Mawlana, I never had any trouble making Fajr the entire year. I could wake up so easy. But once I made Niyyah for Hajj, I found it to be so difficult. Shaitan will come and give me waswasa, telling me, you miss one Fajr, don't worry, you're going for Hajj. You're going to miss one Salah, don't worry, you're going for Hajj. You can sin one time, don't worry. That movie you didn't want to watch, you can watch it now, because you're going for Hajj. Allah will forgive everything. Why even bother? Why even worry? This is what He whispers while you're at home. He tells you, don't worry, you commit as many sins as you like, because right now you have the opportunity, because you're going for Hajj. And then what does He do? He follows you when you're at home. Then He follows you when you're on the road. When you're about to get out, he makes you forget tons of things. You forgot this in the luggage, you forgot that in the luggage, you forgot that in the luggage. So then you get upset. You want to blame the wife. You want to blame the kids. You want to blame someone. You're trying to get angry. He's trying to push you. He said, how dare they miss this? You're going for Hajj. You're a Haji. You're a Haji. How'd they forget your stuff? How dare they? So he upsets you at the time when you're leaving the house. Then he gets upset when you reach the airport. At the airport, he starts to tell you, oh, this group member is late. The team member, team leader is not here. Where's the Maulana? He's not here either. No one's here. Is my visa going to be accepted? Look at this person at the desk. They're having a chai and I'm trying to get through my Hajj. Don't they know how important I am? And this is all shaitan waswasing to you. He's just whispering things to you in your ears. And so he continues to push you and push you to the point that you find that you're on the plane there. You're going there. And you have the entire selection of movies. You didn't watch Avengers while you were here. Now you have Avengers right there on the movie for you, right in front of you. You can watch it. The screen is for you. Maulana is not like, he's down the other aisle. He's not going to see you doing this. So why not? Why not? You have hours to spend. We have hours to kill, right? Time is killing us in reality. But we have hours to kill. So then what? Watch the movie. So people who have never even watched TV, they have the time now because Shaitan is there with them telling them, don't worry, this is your last flight. Might as well just do it. You're going to get forgiven right there. Allahu Akbar Kabira. On the plane, he makes you do that. On the plane, he makes you talk to the stewardess, talk to the air hostess. You never talk to Ghayr Mahram. You never had that type of relationship to talk to people who are not from your family. And then you're finding yourself talking to the hostess, cracking jokes with her while your wife is right there. It's very ajeeb how Shaitan really plays with everyone here. May Allah save us and protect us. Then you land. Right, now you're in ihram. Now you're in ihram mode. You're landing there. And then you're seeing that the wait is like 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Now the impatience, the frustration, and the fatigue, and anger, and everything starts to boil up and come out and explode. And now we want to yell and scream, yell and scream, yell and scream. But what did Allah Ta'ala tell us to do? فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ. People are so upset, they get worried. They go and say, Mawlana, I use soap with fragrance on it. What do I have to do? Or they say, Mawlana, some hairs fell off while I was rubbing my head after ghusl. Like, is it a thing you can't do in ihram? If hairs fall off, right? Or I clipped some nails, I forgot. You know, or I did this and I forgot. And I did this and I forgot. And so the Mawlana will tell you what? There's a kafara you can do. A sadaqah you give. A certain sadaqah you give, and this will expiate it. Because these are sins in ihram, what we call jinayat. Sins in ihram. You shouldn't do these things. And it happens. And so no problem. Allah does give you an easy way out. You just give sadaqah. Give a qurbani. You'll be fine, you'll be set, no problem. But what is the kafara for looking at a non-mahram? What is the kafara for cursing at someone? What is the kafara for pushing someone or knocking someone out the way? Because what, we want to kiss Hajar al-Aswad or go to Nabi alayhi salatu mubarak grave. What are the kafarat for those? There's no kafara for these things. The kafara is done the day of Arafah, you cry and you beg and say, maaf Allah, maaf Allah, maaf. Please forgive me, Ya Rabbal Alameen. That's the kafara for that. Everything else you find, there's a way to get out of it. But when it comes to actual sins, Allah is telling us to avoid. Because everyone's neglecting it. You'll find everyone's rushing to Hajjul Aswad. Because it is a sunnah to kiss the stone. It is a sunnah to kiss the stone. And I'm not saying this to degrade sunnah. I never live my life degrading sunnah, wal-ya'adhu billah. I love sunnah and I respect sunnah wherever I see it and wherever I go. I make dua to Allah to make us from the people of sunnah. Make us from the people who follow the sunnah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But what we find is what? People are trying to force themselves to get one sunnah and doing something haram in the way. They hit someone, they push someone, they argue with someone, they're fighting someone just to kiss the stone to get their sins forgiven that you just committed like 10 seconds ago by hurting someone. We have to remember the values here. You have love, but you need to have respect. Allah didn't just send you to have muhabba there, He sent you to have respect there. Why is it when we're making tawaf? Why is it when we're making tawaf, you're not supposed to look at the Kaaba Sharifa? Because out of adab, you're supposed to make tawaf and put your head down, saying, I'm in front of the king. I'm embarrassed to even look at him. He sees my heart and my sins. How can a person come? He knows he commits sins at nighttime and then he says, I can look at the Kaaba. La ilaha illallah. They say when you're visiting the Rawdah Sharifa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama write in all their books. They say that when you're visiting the Rawdah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, stand a little distance. Don't stand right in front. Don't act so audacious, right? There's audacity. There's jurat in it. How are you going to stand in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Sahaba couldn't even lift it. Many of the Sahaba couldn't describe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to you. Because why? Because they said that we couldn't look past his knees. And there are people that will go there and then pretend like this is all for me. I can do whatever I want here. And that's not the way it is. You have to keep yourself on the highest level of respect. The highest level of adab. And what is the next thing Shaitan makes us do? Within the hotel rooms. Mawlana Sayyarwan and I were discussing it and we were just talking. And he was telling me that you'll find the most ajeeb things there. You'll find people in their hotel rooms watching the movies they would never watch. They will talk to people outside their families just because you're going as a group. If anyone's going for Hajj, just because you're going as a group does not mean they're your mahram now. We think that the woman there is not part of my family. She's not part of your family. She's never going to be part of your family. Okay, if your wife dies or something like that, well, the other people are just saying it. You can marry her, right? There's a complete jawaz there. She's not part of your family. Do not break the rules of Allah Ta'ala while you're in Ihram. While you're in the miqat. That's why people are saying, I wish I lived in Saudi. I wish I lived in Makkah, Medina. Maybe it's better that you and I are here. Because when you're around something so much, right? You know, Mawlana Salih's bayans after 3 years get a little tiring. Because I've been with him for so long, you know? When you're in Makkah and Medina, sometimes the adab goes down. Sometimes the adab goes down. It happens. It's natural. But when you live far away, we're going once in a lifetime. Man, I want to respect this place as much as I can. That's how we are. And the worst thing shaitan makes us do is that when we come back at nighttime, when you go back to the hotel, and now you start to talk to people. You saw that guy in ihram? This guy didn't even take off his shoulder part. You saw that sister? She wasn't wearing hijab properly. You saw that sister? She was way too dressed up for this place. You saw this? You saw this? You saw this? This guy was not even making talk to the right. He was going left. Like, you know, we start talking about everyone else, making dhib of them. And then we give our hajj to them. This is what we're talking about. When we have, and unfortunately it's like this, and I tell brothers and sisters always to keep their shame in front of them at all times, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salam, when Lut alayhi salam had his guests, which were the angels in his house, and then his community came, because they had the sin of sodomy and homosexuality, so they came and they wanted to do haram things with Lut alayhi salam's guests. And so they slammed the door, they broke open the door, and they came into Lut alayhi salam's house. And he said, Ya qawmi inna ha'ula'i dhaifi, fala dhafdahun. He said, oh people, oh my community, these are my guests, don't disgrace me. When Allah Ta'ala's guests are there in the haram, when a woman is there in the haram, she came as a guest of Allah Ta'ala, what are you and I doing looking at her? What are you and I doing looking at her? We should keep our gaze low, out of adab for Allah Ta'ala's guests. When someone came and they're doing something wrong in Hajj, you and I did not invite them. Allah Ta'ala invited them. So when we are there, we just tell ourselves that they're making mistakes and Allah Ta'ala will deal with them. I'm not going to talk about it. That's not my problem. That's really not my problem. If I were to speak about it, imagine you're a host, and you see people sitting in your house and having a chat after food, and then you're seeing some of the guests making fun of other guests. How does that make you feel as a host? Would you ever want to invite those people again? You never want to. Imagine the people who made fun of other people in Hajj. Imagine that they don't, Allah says, I don't want to invite them anymore. You and I, what you and I should understand is, the Prophet said, Hajjul Mabrur, and we'll speak about it more tonight, inshallah. The true Hajjul Mabrur is that you're taking care of other people. That you are taking care of other people. When they asked him, what is Hajj Mabrur? We would have thought Tawaf, we would have thought Sa'i and Marwa, we would have thought, you know, coming on Arafah and all these things. The Prophet said, It'a'amu ta'am wa ifsha'u salam. It'a'amu ta'am wa ifsha'u salam. That you feed people and you give salam to people. The Prophet said, this is what a Hajj Mabrur is. This is what a Hajj Mabrur is. You and I should understand if you're going for Hajj or if you went to Hajj, make tawbah from the heart first and foremost. And tell yourself that when there was a list of people going for Hajj, millions of people, you and I were on the bottom. Allah Ta'ala said, alright, I'll just add this person. You know, you have a list of guests. You put the first people, the ones you want most first. You remember them instantly. And then at the end you're like, oh, we have to invite Mawlana too. Right? So you just put that down on the bottom. You and I should understand as a list for Hajj, millions of people, we were the last people on that list. We were the last people on that list. When you and I are going to say labbaik, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. When you say the لبيك, you should have fear in your heart that maybe Allah will reject me at this moment. Maybe Allah will reject me at this moment. When Zain al-Abidin, Hussein ibn Ali, Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, the son of Hussein radiallahu anhu, Zain al-Abidin, known for his piety, known for his worship, when he put on ihram, because they used to put on ihram from home, they used to put on ihram from home, and they used to walk all the way. Imagine that. You have to be in ihram from your house all the way to Kaaba. That's how they used to do it. So when they put on the ihram, everyone put it on and they said their labbaik. They were ready to start their hajj. And Zain al-Abidin didn't say it. And they're wondering, they said, oh, a mile went by, he still hasn't said labbaik. And they're wondering, and they said, Zain al-Abidin, why? He said, because in the riwayat, in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it says that when you say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, Allah Ta'ala gives you a jawab. Either he accepts it right there. It's labbaik wa sa'daik. Allah Ta'ala says, how lucky are you, how fortunate are you, I'm happy to have you. Or Allah Ta'ala says, la labbaik, your labbaik is not accepted. And Zain al-Abidin said, at that moment I was so scared that maybe Allah Ta'ala will reject me. And so I'm so scared to even say it. So when the words came out, he fainted. This is what happened to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, was told by Allah Ta'ala that when people say labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika la laka labbaik, then there will be a time where Allah Ta'ala will respond. And if he says, I don't want this person here, he says, la labbaik. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I are people that Allah ta'ala accepts. Ibn Muwaffiq rahimullah ta'ala, look at how much he cared about the people. He said, I've been Hajj for 50 years. 50 years. MashaAllah, I wish we could get that opportunity. May Allah give us all the opportunity. The expenses and the finances, everything, inshaAllah ta'ala. Ibn Wafiq, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, I was so worried about the people whose hajj weren't accepted. He said, I was so worried about the people whose hajj weren't accepted. So I used to make dua every single hajj year that came and I made hajj. I said, Ya Allah, give my hajj to those people whose hajj wasn't accepted. He's an alim of deen. His hajj is amazing. He said, Ya Allah, give this to someone else. And you know, it's not like when you give it to someone that your hajj is going to them. Allah will give it to you as well. But he's saying this because he cares about the people. That's how you and I need to be. Make dua that every single day that you're in hajj, and every day you're in umrah, Ya Allah, save me from the fitna of shaitan. No one makes this dua. No one even thinks about shaitan on that day. When you forget your enemy, he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. You make dua every single day, Ya Allah, I wake up in the morning, protect me from shaitan. And you'll find, inshallah, the hajj will be accepted and protected by Allah Ta'ala. May Allah accept all the hujjaj. May Allah accept everyone who's going for hajj this year. May Allah accept everyone's hajj in the previous years. May Allah protect everyone's hajj to the time that they die. May Allah make every single hajj a hujjah for them on the Day of Judgment. May Allah make the means of the hajj a means for us to enter Jannah al-Firdaws, inshallah ta'ala.